Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Feeling lucky? You should be. Meet the new Lucky One Sweet Tea from Miss Peaches, the vodka drink that's positively doing good. Made with real tea and real vodka, non-carbonated, 100 calories. And here's the scoop. Their new sweet tea is the only vodka-based sweet tea on the market. Simple ingredients in a smooth, full flavor that makes it taste just like the real sweet tea. Best part? Every can helps rescue dogs find their forever homes as they work to a goal of donating $1 million to dog rescues in 2026. So if you love true sweet tea, this one's a no-brainer. Pick up a Lucky One sweet tea today and give back one can at a time.
The bracket is partially brought to you by 3Chi. 3Chi, it rhymes. And it's the industry leader in Delta ATHC. You know all about it. We talk about it all the time. It's formulated by a biochemist made in the USA with USA-grown hemp. And their federally legal version of THC, it's a more functional alternative to marijuana. That's right. It gives you that full, like, it's a psychoactive. It's not like it's like CBD or whatever, which is going to be like a light little whatever. This is like a legit, it works, man. It's amazing buzz, great body feel. But you get a clear head and less anxiety and paranoia. It's available online at 3chi.com. That's the number 3chi.com. And it retails around the country. Remember, again, not CBD. It's a psychoactive. It's going to give you that buzz. So use it responsibly. And they have like all sorts of different stuff, vapes, edibles, gummies, and more. Make sure to visit 3chi.com. Use promo code CAMERA to get 5% off your purchase. Use responsibly. Again, must be 21 years old to purchase. Welcome to the bracket. We are doing today the worst situations to be in. It's myself, Kenjack. We have Nick. We have KB. We have Che. We have Coley. No Jeff and no Owen today, but we'll be doing our best to try and, you know, kind of sort out the situation of the worst situations. And shit, I don't think any of us actually picked Mike the situation, because maybe it's because he's not the worst situation, but
he's not the worst.
No, he's not.
According to the IRS, taxes, he is. Though.
Yeah, I was going to say. Did evade a lot of taxes. It's kind of a bummer. But we'll be going forward with what we got here. We actually have a pretty good list today. You guys all submitted a lot. I think there was a little bit of crossover, but not a crazy amount. And there's one very problematic entry in the situations that was added here. And I won't like air out who it was, but we'll get there. It was pretty fucked up. So anyway, we'll start on the back end of our first half.
This is 100,000,000% Stephen Che.
I'm not saying anything about who it was.
Infinite percentiles.
Just saying it was a little problematic is all I'm saying for now. The very first thing we have is actually one of Nick's additions, and I'm going to make it a little more broad. One of the worst situations to be in, the number 12 seed, when being in the waiting room or in close quarters with someone you only kind of know. Mm-hmm. You only kind of know, which I think is a great pick.
Yeah, I'm like waiting to get my braces tightened, and like I'm seeing like a girl that's like 2 years older than me sitting and waiting.
2 years, same school.
Yep.
Girl.
Yes. You're right. And so like I'm trying to look too cool so I don't play like the game gear they have, so I don't get to play Contra, and it sucks.
Just brutal. And I think any other, you could like put this into a bunch of different situations too, beyond just like a waiting room. Like if you're in like stuck in an elevator with someone you only kind of know, and like you have to make the acknowledgement. And if it's like there's multiple stops, you need to say at least one full sentence to the other person, and figuring out what that is always, it's pure hell. Trey, I know you don't feel awkward about anything, but does that never hit you?
No. So this is this is the hardest one I've ever had to do, just because, I don't really get too uncomfortable very often. I think all these situations sound pretty delightful. You just say, hey, how's it going? What are you up to?
It's a waiting room. You're stuck in there. That's like a guaranteed awkward silence. It's all you can do in a waiting room is wait.
Waiting room for sure more difficult. Kenjack, you can't make 30 seconds of conversation in an elevator? For like, how many floors are you going up?
Saying, like, if you're stuck there and it's someone like you don't know, but you know enough.
Yeah.
Am I wearing headphones? Like, what kind of day did I just have? Like, I want this person to be a complete stranger, so they wouldn't even consider talking to me.
But like a waiting room, like a doctor's office, and you don't know the person that well, the only thing you could talk about is that current appointment, and you can't really talk about that
for too long anyway.
Yeah. Just like, oh,
it's for HIPAA rules.
Yeah. It's like, is there something wrong with your pussy? Like, what do you say to this girl that you don't know?
What's let me ask you, what's the name of that guy that from your high school that had the monster truck?
Jack Joyce.
Mm-hmm. Let's say you went to your dentist office right now and you're stuck in the waiting room with him. What was your conversation? What would your conversation be like, you think?
Dude, what's up? Do you still have that monster truck?
Pretty much exactly like I thought it would be. It's like, no, Steve, that was like 15 years ago. What do you mean?
Whatever happened to that thing? Are you able to sell that for parts, or like, is that even street legal?
I feel like, yeah, see, you're proving my point here in that he would be the one feeling way more awkward in the situation than he asked about his 15-year-old monster truck. So that's going up against, and this is, I believe, one of KB's entries that none of us had, which is kind of surprising. And it is accidentally sending a text talking shit about someone to the person you were talking shit about, which is, that's painful. I think I've only done it like maybe once or twice. And what I've done is I didn't send a text like, yeah, Brian's a fucking bitch or whatever. Like I send a screen cap of something.
Yeah, they said. It's always a screenshot that you can kind of get out of it, but it's tough.
It's there's actually, I don't think there's any way you can get out of it. There's escape pod to that.
There is no way you can get out of it unless you have like a funny like contact photo of them saved and just be like, oh, by the way, like this is what I have saved, as like out of the nowhere. You have to be a weirdo, but it's saving face.
Mm-hmm. There's just no way I think you escape that at all. It's very,
I don't know
very
if tough. I've ever even done that. I think it's just happened in my head. It's played out so many times.
It makes me, out of nervousness, it makes me stop. And before I send any screen cap to anybody, I'm like, do not fuck this up, because I'm just petrified of what might happen. So let's just put it to a vote. Nick, what would you pick? Would you pick being in the waiting room of someone you only slightly know, or close quarters of someone you slightly know, or the wrong text?
It's got to be the wrong text, because that person is just, they're going to dislike you forever.
Mm-hmm.
You've just ruined a relationship completely.
I agree, Che.
Yeah, I actually sent one of these close to 10 years ago now. It sucked. Yeah, there's no way. There's absolutely
wait,
no
you
way
know the exact date?
No, but like roughly 10 years ago.
Can you what was in it? What happened in it?
It wasn't like a screenshot, but more just like I didn't want to go out that night. So I was just like, oh, I don't really want to hang out with this person tonight, and sent it to that person instead of. It wasn't meant to be like mean spirited, like I don't like this person, I don't really want to go out tonight. And I was sending it to my ex, I thought I was sending it to my ex-girlfriend. How did you guys save names in your phone? I do first initial last name for everyone except
why not except the full like name
relatives.
Why don't you just do their
so what is Nick?
And Terrani.
What am I?
C. Mick.
That's insane. How many other Coleys want battle?
Che, that saves you half a second total of all of them combined.
You could just write Coley for me. You'd know who it was.
I mean, what's mine in then? What do you have my name under?
I actually have you as Ken Jack, and I have KB as KB No Swag. But for almost everyone, I have first
what is
initial
your
last
wife?
So yes. So like my wife and like nuclear like family or like first relation family get like first names, but everyone else
it's like your fave five.
it was actually in high school when I thought about this, because I was like, oh, this will be a great way to have women in my phone and nobody will know. But it turns out I just had no women in my phone at all, so it's just a system I stuck with for 20 plus years.
Think about all those fools putting in like Pizza Hut for their side chick's name, and they could have just been putting initial last name
not even did you fantasize about having all these women, but like clearly cheating on someone.
Your only priority.
So you fantasized having a girlfriend and cheating on her.
Yeah.
This is what I thought of when I got my first cell phone. I was like, all right, how are we doing this?
We're like 5 minutes in.
it's unbelievable every time what we uncover.
We haven't even got his vote yet.
Yeah. Yours is the wrong text, right, Che? Right, Che?
The worst part is I didn't lose my virginity till like 6 or 7 years later.
Years ago.
The worst part of you saving first
not that part.
Is that you didn't lose your virginity
until after I created this several multiple Olympics after I created it.
Have you guys ever had a, have you guys ever had a girl send you a picture of you? Oh, it's the worst.
No, that would destroy me.
Oh, God. It turned me into a Volso quick.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. What was her excuse?
She was just like this pic of you. And I was like,
no. No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
You were just commenting on the picture.
I've never had it happen to me yet, but I've done it to other people. And it's just a brutal thing in my brain. KB, what would you pick?
It sucks.
So I think the text is definitely worse, but the other one is also like a more common occurrence. I'm echoing.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
Why is it always, it comes and goes, and I don't know why.
Get internet, Kyle.
This is your internet.
Okay, it's good. Yeah. We're good.
It's not the internet that's caught. It's not the internet that's causing an echo. We're sitting next to each other.
Try to troubleshoot yours, and that'll... I won't have to spend money. You can only spend a little bit.
That's nothing to do with the echo at all.
You're the last person I ever want troubleshooting an electronic.
After last week.
Have you tried to see KB use any technology that's been created in the past 15 years? Wrestlers are incredible because they can only do one thing proficiently.
Oh, wait. So, KB, so you're picking the text? You're picking the text. I'm picking the text, too, so it's going to move on. But, Coley, what would you have picked?
Yeah, the last person I texted unknowingly was Vindog, the meme king himself. My phone was broken, and I was, like, using my laptop to text. But I also had my watch on. My Apple Watch on, and my daughter was just poking it, and it was just doing like whatever the auto response was. So it was like, hola, and like all this stuff. And Vindog was just like, hello, yes, how's it going? I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. Very uncomfortable, but we powered through it.
Mm-hmm. The meme king himself. So it's going to move on. The wrong text of 5 seed beating out the 12 seed. Next up, we have the number 4. Being in the same place as your ex after your breakup, which is, I think that's a really strong pick because I can't, there's not many situations where like I feel like a pain in my gut. And I'm just like, I need to leave this place almost immediately, like right now. It's a great, and that was one of Steve's picks. So I was very proud of you for that one.
Thank you.
Dude, seeing your ex-girlfriend go home with a wheeling nailer like a week after, have you guys ever relate to this? Okay. Yes, yeah. It's devastating.
Biz nasty?
No, well, probably at one point in time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just a nailer. It's like a faceless, they're just nailers.
What do you think's worse, though? I think it's honestly worse if you're in the same place, like a social function, and see single, knowing that any guy there that you're there with right now could end up going home with them. Like if they're with somebody, it's like, yeah, well, whatever. It's already happening. But like I almost feel like the more nervousness, like, well, now this she'd be going home with someone else.
Right. And they're just like, there is no girls that you're talking to.
Zero. Absolute zero. Che, this is your pick. I think it's really good.
Yeah, I think you described it pretty well. Just like the pit in your stomach, the sinking feeling in your stomach, just seeing them and just being like, fuck, because nothing good can happen. You don't want to backslide and, you know, get back with them because you obviously separated for a reason. You don't want to see them go home with a wheeling nailer or any other professional hockey or player or any other person.
Wrestler, yeah.
Yeah, nothing good. Like, even just talking to them, you're just rehashing shit you probably recently fought over. So none of it is good. It's hard to imagine a more difficult situation.
Mm-hmm. Obviously. Zero sum game. They're going up against the 13 seed. And it's just your phone being dead in basically any situation in which you really don't want it to be dead. It's like it's not like you're dead. It's dead in your apartment or whatever. Like you're out and it's dead, and like you need to sit. You can't sit there and just stare at your phone or for whatever reason. So I think it's a pretty solid late pick.
I think the rationing of battery as your phone is dying is worse than a dead phone, because that's at least some acceptance. Yeah. The battery rationing of okay, I can like. If you're you're in a Pokemon Go hotspot and you can't do it, brutal.
Hasn't happened yet, Jay.
I mean, you spent it.
So, actually, wait. You multiple times, I've seen you at work, and you've just been like, "Ah, oh, I left my phone at home." Like, the fuck just leaves their phone at home? So, like, I feel like that's something you'd be fine with.
That's happened one time in my time at Barstool.
I'm saying it stuck out very heavily, and you're just like, "Ah, I forgot it," and like you're very nonchalant about it as something that would be very devastating. I think for a full day worse. At work.
Could be worse. I mean, I have my computer. It's not like I'm disconnected, but yeah, I don't have. When I take a shit, then yeah, I'm lonely.
KB.
Yeah, one time my phone didn't die, but I lost the person who had my phone at a concert.
Why did a person have your phone?
You know, were you in
pocketless pants?
They were charging it on a portable charger. And I was very drunk. And the worst part was it was a very small venue concert. I think it was Webster Hall in New York City, which is like a tiny theater.
They got a few floors in there.
That just sounds brutal to me. Coley?
Yeah, I would much rather, like, if I could give my own blood to my phone, keep it going, I certainly would. There's not a question in my mind. So I can't think of something worse, especially, like, with this job and, like, as long as I've been in this company, you truly feel like you're going to be shot dead if you're not ready for the smallest bit of news that comes out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why I would pick phone. Nick, what would you pick?
It's got to be bar with an X.
Bar with an X,
Jay? Bar or event or party with an X.
Yeah.
Yep. Any place with someone you recently broke up with.
Because I know how bad at sex I am. And just knowing that she's like going home and finally... I don't even want to get into it.
That's the hardest part for you, is like the possibility of her going home with somebody.
Yeah. And like having to see that, because like there's no way I'm going home with somebody.
Zero you don't chance. Have to watch it.
You don't have to.
I would rather watch it than imagine it. Imagine it.
Yeah. What you're imagining is definitely worse than whatever is actually happening.
Yes. Probably not. It's probably exactly the same.
Amy, what would you pick? Ex-girlfriend or dead phone?
This has been my phone is an iPhone 7. It happens every night I go out. I've gotten used to it.
KB's cell phone isn't portable. It dies immediately.
You learn to make the right moves and have the right backup plans. You know who to stick around. You know which bartenders have chargers.
How are you not traveling with a charger?
For an iPhone 7? What bars even carry that anymore? Is that that's not the same charger, is it?
No, they have the same charger.
Okay.
But I think the X is worse depending on how bad you need your phone.
Coley, and you're picking phones, so.
Yeah, I mean, we're not talking about your situation where you just would clearly not talk to people ever. We're talking like a person who likes to use their phone and it, like Nick talking about the rationing, like, ugh. Horrible. It's fun by a lot in my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, once you guys hit like 20%, you go on power save mode, right?
Yeah, but that doesn't really do anything.
When I'm going out, I put power save mode before I leave the apartment.
I put on power save mode at like 60%.
Mm-hmm. Before I even leave, just to be sure. And yeah, but I don't think it does shit. I think Coley's right. I think
once it hits 20, definitely it's too late at that point. And Nick's strategy probably helps.
Yeah, I mean, I hope. I really have no idea what it does. I think it stops LTE or something or cellular data. I don't fucking know. But either way, ex-girlfriend's going to advance. Number 4 beats number 13. Moving back up, the number 8 seed. It's friends fight your friend's parents fighting while you're over, or your friend fighting with their parents while you're over, which is either situation is just painfully awkward.
When it's your friend fighting with their parents, they always rope you into it.
Yeah. Yep.
Is it to be a bitch? Friend?
But you're not expected to. You don't have any expectations for you from either.
But it's so uncomfortable.
The parents, the friends' parents fighting each other is worse, I would say. And on the flip side, the inverse is even worse than all of them. When the two parents are doing the opposite of fighting.
Oh, so like when your parents are fighting while your friend is over, you're saying?
Like really loving each other.
Yeah.
Jason, you're the kid and the friend and the parent are like cuddling in front of you.
Yeah. Yeah, that happens all the time. Wait,
you've gone over to a friend's and he was like cuddling with his dad.
I have a few teammates that they're just like cuddly families. They all just hop on the couch and like be like rub at each other.
Like, I think that's a very unique experience.
I'm thinking of one family in particular.
Just fucking say their name like we do every time we do this. Just give the fucking name.
What's the matchup?
The matchup is it's going up against the number 9 seed. The number 9 seed is accidentally hurting a child. Specifically, one that's this, not
that
yours.
That sucks so bad.
It happened once and it was the worst feeling of my life.
Yeah, it is. That's like the knot in my stomach that I have, like seeing an ex or whatever, is like nothing compared to this. Really, like this is the worst feeling I think personally I ever have, is hurting a child accidentally.
I was a camp counselor, and kids liked me because I was fucking massive. Like they would climb all over me and stuff. And we got back from one field trip, and this like 8-year-old girl was like, "Give me a piggyback ride," and I was like, "Sure." And we all get off the bus. This is the whole camp.
Wait, do you mean the other way around?
Give me a
piggyback. Yes, she was doing a piggyback ride on you. She wasn't giving you a piggyback ride.
I didn't climb on her like a circus clown on a tiny tricycle. That's not what happened. She was on my back, and we were walking. And there was like a hill next to us. And I don't know if I stepped on like a shoelace or something, but I went face first down this hill with this small child on my back. It was not a small hill. So now she's like tobogganing on me down this hill. And I like, there's that moment where you fall in front of a large group of people and you have to like mentally be like, all right, I have to make sure everyone knows, like, you can't play it off, but you can be like, I didn't break anything. Like, but now I can't even do that because everyone's like, is that girl dead? Like, she didn't have a scratch on her, and everyone thought I was an asshole. So it was like a doubly bad thing that happened.
It was bad that she didn't get a scratch on her.
Well, it was still bad that she fell and was like potentially concussed, but like
internally bleeding or something.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It could have been worse. Like, so
the funniest part is like, you try to manifest because the first thing you say to the kid is like, you're okay.
Yep.
Right. Like, yeah,
they might not be.
Their eyeballs hanging out. You're fine. I could see that.
I guess I'll go write teardrops in heaven.
I think the one time that happened to me was I was at like a family gathering thing, and we were playing kickball, and my little baby cousin is like
slow pitching.
Well, not like a little baby. It was like 4 years, 4 or 5 years old. They slow pitch the kickball, and I wail it, hits him square in the face. He goes down and just like balls his eyes out, and there's just nothing you can do. I'm just like it's you just look like the biggest asshole on earth, and there's literally nothing you can do to make that situation better.
No.
At all. I don't know, Che, how do you feel about it? You have the most kids here.
That's true. I mean, hurting a kid, no matter what you do, not only depending on your relationship with the kid, if you're a parent of the kid, your immediate thought is like, oh shit, like really worried for the kid. Like you have to, depending on what the injury is, maybe call 911 or something like that. If it's another kid and they're like of age where they can recover like Wolverine, then they're probably fine. You're just going to have to get over that feeling of dread that you did something bad. And ideally in Coley's situation, like the kid's fine, but you just feel like a dickhead. Mm-hmm. So I think there's two different extremes with that. I forget what the baseball player was, maybe like 3 years ago, where he hit a foul ball and he hit and it a line drive and it took out some kid, and he had no relation to the kid, but he had kids himself and just like immediately started crying. That's what that's got to be one of the worst feelings possible.
All time worst. So that's going to be our matchup. It's when your friend's parents are fighting, or your parents are fighting, or their parents are fighting, being in some sort of parental fight situation with not your parents versus accidentally hurting a child. We'll start with you, Coley.
It's got to be the parents fighting. That's potentially the most awkward situation of all time, because like you just have to endure it, and like shit slamming, like it gets real, like they don't give a fuck that there are kids around. Like I'll hurt a child any day. I'm fine with that.
We've heard the stories.
Yeah.
They are particularly brutal. Especially because, like, I feel like with those situations too, you usually ask, like, you want me to go? And they're like, no, you fucking stay here.
They never want you to go.
That's you're not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere. It's like you're fucking trapped. KB.
No, I think the kid feeling, the sinking feeling of you may have injured a kid severely is worse than almost anything.
Mm-hmm. Jay?
I would agree with KB, but that is a temporary feeling I feel because kids recover super quickly. Being at like a dinner with like a friend's parents that are going at it in a bad way, yikes. You're staying for the whole, like you guys said, you're staying for the whole dinner. Definitely that.
Nick?
To me, without a doubt, I don't hurt enough children to like really like worry about it. Like I don't, you never know when it's like the last child you're going to hurt. It could have already happened.
One day you go out to hurt all the children in your neighborhood and little do you all know, that'd be the last time.
Yeah, they never tell you when. So it's got to be the parents arguing.
Well, my only experience was my five-year-old neighbor. I was watching him, took him to the park, put him on the monkey bars, forgot that he needed to have the upper body strength to just hang. And I was just like holding his like ankle, fell right on his face.
Oh.
That hard mulch.
that hard mulch.
Very compacted mulch. Yes, too many people have walked on it.
Mulch I'm talking about.
I know exactly what.
I don't think I've ever thought of hard mulch. I feel like it's instinctively very soft. Like that's just dirt and wood chips.
No, your community tilled your mulch. Ours went untilled. it was just one giant wood chip by the time we were playing on it.
All right, so the number 8 is going to move on. So we're going to have the number 1 versus 16. The 16 is a play-in, so I'll let you guys pick who you want for the play-in first. The play-in has 1, 2, 3, 4, it has like 8 options. I'm going to sort of rattle through them real quick. The first one is getting evicted from your hotel on your first work trip with your new boss. Pretty terrible situation. Thinking you're actively dying while too high on an edible.
That is tough.
Yeah.
Again, not too specific to anyone here. Having to use your co-host Wi-Fi.
I love it.
Pretty shitty one. Being anywhere near the Ukraine right now.
All of these relate to Kyle, and somehow I'm convinced he's like headed to Ukraine tomorrow.
Him and Donnie.
Farting in the elevator right before someone gets in. This is Coley's ad. I know he likes this one. The deodorant line on a shirt after you've already left the house, too late to go back and change. And then anything at all involving cops. Not like it doesn't have to be something really fucking brutal or anything like that. Just literally any situation involving cops. So what's the thoughts here? What's one that stands out most to you guys? And Nick, I'll let you start.
So some of those I can't relate to. I have Wi-Fi. That's known. We all know that. I mean, we work at an internet company. We need to be connected to the world. And it's like pretty affordable. Like, I don't know. I've been at Barstool the least amount of time for all of us. So you guys all rightfully make more than I do. So you can afford Wi-Fi. You can get it. And I know, like, you know, we live in Manhattan, so it's easily accessible. You can get Wi-Fi. So I don't know why that's one of them. I don't know what that would feel like. I've never not had Wi-Fi. You know, that's like the first thing you do when you move into a new apartment. You know, you get that. What were the others?
Ukraine.
The Ukraine, getting evicted from your hotel on your first work trip with your new boss, thinking you're dying when you're too high on an edible. Farting in the elevator before someone gets in, the deodorant line on your shirt if you already left the house, and then anything involving cops.
So I feel like there was a butterfly effect from KB getting evicted to the hotel to me getting hired.
Mm-hmm.
Not even that, a butterfly effect, like maybe like 3 dominoes. and then
literally cause and effect, I think.
Yeah. It was an effect. That's all it was. It was an effect.
Direct effect.
So I'm pretty thankful for that. Being in Ukraine right now, I don't know. I mean, I've never been in a war-torn country. Don't think I'll ever be able to. But, I mean, that would just be just bad. I don't think it would be, like, an uncomfortable – it would just suck, and there's nothing you could do about it. I fart on the elevator. Usually it's when, like, I have an elevator in my building when I'm coming back up to my floor. And if, like, I'm out, I try not to fart when I'm out. I try to keep those with me. And I always, like, let one out on the elevator. And it's almost, like, every single time somebody gets on and they know. They just fucking know. Mm. But I'd argue it's worse when you get on there. It already smells like fart. And then somebody else gets on. Because then they just assume it's your fart. And so then you that's have to fart bad. To prove that that's not your fart.
Yeah, I think farting in elevators, just in general, we can make it more broad. Okay. So, Che, so you're picking fart in elevator, I'm guessing?
Oh, yeah.
Fart in elevator, Che?
The cop one is interesting because there's very minor things like cops. Some cops are like crosswalk guys, traffic cops that like, you know, help you across the street. But, you know, if you get pulled over, that is a very uncomfortable situation. You better use your sirs and whatever. I tried to joke with a cop once and he did not take it very
well. What was your joke?
You are not white enough for that.
Not at all.
I was crossing into the Canadian border going from wherever is under Toronto to Toronto. And the customs officer, who was a policeman, asked, like, do you have, you know, asking his general checklist of questions, do you have over $10,000 in cash? And 23-year-old me thought it'd be a good idea to say, man, I wish. And we got the entire car searched.
oh my God.
That's pretty innocent.
That's pretty innocent.
So everyone was very mad at me for the rest of the ride. And
you're just trying to small talk your way through it.
Yeah, that's just, I thought it was a pretty innocent answer. But yeah, situations can be very bad to, you know, obviously very extreme measures. I think it's well documented enough. I don't follow any news. I didn't even know where Ukraine was until I just Googled it. It's next to Poland-ish, Hungary area. What's going on? What's going on there right now?
We're about to have World War III.
Yeah. World War III?
Yeah.
Russia's looking to invade or something. There's a lot of stuff happening.
Sounds like a bad problem, no?
Yeah.
Sounds like a them problem.
I mean, yeah,
that's fair enough. I guess, but it would be an uncomfortable situation to be in, regardless if you're looking down the shell of some bombs or whatever, the barrel of a mortar.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, I don't wish any bad things upon anybody, but I don't know. Doesn't seem to involve America to me.
So, what are you picking then?
NATO.
Jay revealing himself as the biggest.
Bless you. I will say the police officer, just because you get pulled over, you got to be super on your P's and Q's.
All right, so you pick the cops. KB.
I was going to say edible, thinking you're dying in a landslide. That's only happened to me once. And that was like the worst moment of my life.
But, yeah, that's it. That's what I'm voting for. Like
that. Yeah, that has to be it.
That's it. Because there's nothing. All those other situations you can get out of. The Ukraine one, maybe not so much, but like getting by the cops and the fart on the elevator and not having Wi-Fi. I mean, we see how that gets hurdled every day. Being on an edible, it is just man versus time. Like you are just waiting and time has never felt slower. And
my goodness. At its slowest.
Have you ever called your parents and said your goodbyes?
No.
I called my mom in college.
A death note to my friends and loved ones.
That only happened to me once. And it was I actually smoked weed that somebody at the Barstool office offered me. And they're a much heavier weed smoker than I am, which is very intermittently. And I got so high, I tripped getting into the elevator, getting back into the building. And I had to sit down and just chug water and eat hun buns. for like so 4 hours.
When you smoke too much, that still induces crippling anxiety, but it's not for nearly as long as the edible high. The edible high, you're up there and it's like people who get stuck on like the tops of roller coasters upside down. Like you just have to wait for them to get like the one fire truck from seven towns over that has the really long cherry pick, like that. You're just waiting and waiting and waiting, and you feel like you're getting higher. No amount of food will help. Mm-hmm. You watch a nature documentary, now you're afraid of bears. Like there's nothing you can do in that situation. It is
helpful. You convince yourself that you are like, okay, now I'm enjoying the high, and then 13 seconds later.
Yep.
It's just like, oh no.
Your heart's going really fast. You're like, it's gonna just explode out of my chest. The first time I took a dab, like an oil rig, I legitimately was like telling, because I'd already been drinking all night, and I was telling the two people who were engaged in a very heated political debate at the time, like I was like trying to get their attention, and they were so into their argument that they weren't responding to me. So I convinced myself I had died and was a ghost. And I was like, I like had to shake one of them for them to acknowledge me. And then I calmed down a little, but yeah, there's nothing like being stuck.
I did that to my brothers once. Me and my one brother pretended our other brother wasn't there, and we convinced him that he died and became a ghost. We just were talking to each other, and we're just like, yeah, Shane, Tommy passed away.
You're a bad person.
It was fucked up. But it might not matter. Edible is going to move on then, because if they're getting two votes, I think I'll probably tack on to that third as well.
I have an honorary nominee that literally just happened.
Ukraine got bombed.
By so they're at war with what, Russia?
You'll read about it after it happens.
I won't. So this woman who I know from high school, very nice.
This just happened to you.
This just happened. So she actually lives near me. I live like one or two towns over from my hometown, and she lives in my hometown where we grew up. And we're like Instagram friends. And
give us a first initial last name.
So I saw that she went to the zoo recently on her Instagram stories. I was like, oh, if you ever want to go to the zoo, you know, me and my kid go all the time. We're members, so we can get you in for free if you want. She was just like, oh, okay, whatever.
Fucking viper room at the zoo? What the fuck?
Anyway, she's like, oh, you guys should, and our kids are the same age. So she was like, oh, I just actually signed my kid up for soccer. Do your kids do soccer? I was like, no, I'm supposed to get on that and like sign them up. She's like, oh, here, I signed my kid up for this one. I have not seen this woman since 2004 when I graduated high school. So she sent me like her receipt with like where she did it. I just signed up for the exact same class. So I messaged her. I was like, oh, I just signed up for the same class. I'll see you then. just wrote back.
Let me tell you, Steve, that's not going to make the bracket, but I appreciate you telling me.
That just won't fit on the graphic.
Her response was, see you in April for the first time in 20 years, LOL. So now this is not a one-time thing. I'm going to see her for 8 consecutive Sundays in April. And I've not seen her in 20 years.
Yeah, that's bad. That is.
But like, she might as well just be a stranger at this point, though. It's not like it changes too much.
It's like a blind date, kind of. You could. What's you gonna put? What's her number in your phone right now? What's her display name?
I don't have her. I don't have her phone number.
That was all Instagram.
It was all Instagram. Yeah.
It'll be even worse if she like watches this and then goes into it knowing how much you're dreading Steam.
Oh no, I'm not dreading. It's just gonna. That's. I guess I didn't really calculate this gamble.
She's going to hear how much high school Stephen Jay really wanted to, in the future, cheat on his partner. So maybe she hears that part.
And how he was just bricked up 24/7 during every day and every period of high school.
Every single day.
That clip made the rounds with some people. Yeah.
No.
Yes, that was through the old Jay high school Facebook groups.
I was hoping.
A few people reached out.
Reached out? Yeah, you act like you said, like you. Like what the fuck, dude?
A lot of just like, dude. For the record, I did not get boners in gym class.
You're a gym class hero, Steve. Okay, so anyway, the edible trips are going up against the number one seed. Every one of you pretty much had this in some form. I'm gonna make it very broad as well. Just toilet problems. So not having any toilet paper after you shit, having to shit in a public place, diarrhea in the stall when you know other people are in the bathroom. Anything, any issue that you have in a bathroom is just your number one seed. Any bathroom problem. I think that's a pretty much a wash win for me in that I hate having toilet problems. I hate not having toilet paper sucks. I think if you really have to just shit out your ass and you see someone's feet in the stalls, like and you're just like, well, I have to wait for them to leave now before you just evacuate right. Your ass.
We need Steven. To look at the, we need to take a break to look at the chat in the corner.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Okay, so yeah. So those of you who can't see, because none of you can see,
our producer, for 3 hours.
Our producer Robbie just said that Chris Broussard tweeted that Ukraine has been invaded, and Stephen Che just asked, did he delete it? I'm not seeing it. Stephen Che, let me tell you something. I don't think Chris Broussard actually tweeted that.
No. What gave it away?
You see, you think Chris Broussard is the Schefter of politics?
This is the callback for last week.
Brew Crew? I mean,
the
Brew
Crew was started because of how famously wrong he always was.
Everything.
That was the joke.
Well, I don't know what's going on in the world, guys. So if somebody says that somebody just got invaded, I would like to see that as like a factual thing. And
but why would Chris Broussard tweet that? Why would he break that?
Would it be weird if Shams did it or Roj did it?
Yes, it'd be a little weird if they were.
Schefter tweets about basketball all the time.
That's the same as a country getting invaded by Russia.
This is so different, man. Come on.
The football guy tweets basketball sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, there's crossover.
Global con. Yeah, in the basketball, maybe not in
this. But at least they're like sports.
Yeah, but like that's not his main thing. Whatever. I mean, it's similar.
It is not similar at all. Okay, so they're going up against it's toilet problems.
Chase, stop believing everything.
It's toilet problems versus edibles. Let's just put it straight to a vote. Nick, what do you pick?
Oh man. So I don't really have a lot of toilet problems. I'm always locked and loaded with dude wipes. I've quit scratchy, itchy toilet paper. You know, they're great. I love them. What was the other one?
Edibles. Edible trip. Bad edible trip.
Yeah, I'm having a good one right now, but I'm going to go bad edible trip. They bad last forever. And I always like
potential upset.
Whenever I have a bad edible trip, I probably have done like two or three. I always like try to find comfort in sleeping in my closet. And I think like that's just like a real life metaphor.
Yeah.
You do. There is this like desire to try and get as small as possible.
Uh-huh.
You want to feel as encased. Like if there was an open tomb nearby, that would feel like a nice warm hug. Like I don't know.
That's the main reason I was this close to buying a sarcophagus, and I was just like, I probably shouldn't.
Che, what are you picking?
Toilet troubles can be tough. My first year out of school, I was in my workplace and I was pooping, and there are those little lines in the in the door, and there was someone else in the bathroom, and I was just kind of willing them to go away, like staring at them. The person turned around, looked at me in the one eye they could see, and went, "Mike," and I just responded, "Nope." I've never seen a person run out of the bathroom faster.
Oh my God. Right.
I will say I get walked in on a ton in like bars in New York. I don't know why. I'm like,
you poop in bars in New York?
No, peeing, but like, just like, wait, KB got walked in on last weekend peeing sitting down at a bar.
Wait. Didn't know.
They didn't know that you're peeing sitting down.
It was two girls, which. And then, like,
were you
I
in the wrong bathroom
a bar, and like, they kept,
yeah,
we had I joked my way out of embarrassment.
I don't think you did.
You made it worse. You went up to him afterwards, and I saw you do this. And you went up to one of the girls, and you were like, "So don't tell anybody about what just happened." And yeah. Then the girl goes, "Yeah, that's not something I'd normally talk about."
Oh, no, that was a guy.
What?
That must have happened twice this weekend. That was the dude.
Yeah, that's why have you been pissing sitting down at bars? No,
that wasn't pissing sitting down. The girls were pissing sitting down. The guy, I was just like jokingly like, don't tell anyone about that. And he was like, yeah, that's not something I would normally tell people.
What a fucking bizarre story. Jesus. All right.
Getting walked in on turns you into the biggest coward in the world.
Yeah. Vulnerable. Like a most vulnerable. Mm-hmm.
I just yell occupied. I don't know why. Like, even when someone tries to like knock on the door, I don't know why. I have no explanation for it. Let's go occupied. Like, I don't know if there's a better word to say in that moment, but
there isn't.
There's none. I remember once when I was in college, I was taking a shit and one of the school janitors came in and he just like walks up. He's the urinal. He's taking a piss and he just like, burr, like rips a really loud fart. And he just goes, oh, Lord. And like, I started bawling laughing. Like, I could not help it in at all. And he just like, oh, you like that one. And then he like walked out. And it was one of the most bizarre bathroom experiences I think I've ever had. I just could not stop laughing.
That guy's for sure a sex offender. But
absolutely.
Like, this is one of the benefits of going to an all boys high school is like the bathroom is there's no shame anymore. None. Absolutely zero. None.
Wait, so Shay, what did you end up picking, by the way? I missed out on that.
Poop problems. Do they have women's bathrooms in all boys schools?
Yeah, because there's still women teachers.
I figure they have a staff bathroom. Okay.
KB?
I think the only bathroom problem that can compare to the panic of a bad edible trip is the feeling of you have to shit your pants and there's no bathroom. But still, the edible is, now that I think about it, though, it's the worst.
All right, that's another one for edible, Coley.
Yeah, I mean, not seeing toilet paper, like, that's usually something that only happens in my own home or a house in general. Like, I've never seen that out. So it's like, it's annoying, but it's fixable. Again, there's no fix for being stuck. Like, there's just nothing you can do. You could take your underpants off and just wipe your ass with that and freeball it the rest of the night. Mm-hmm. There's no equivalent to that. On the edible, not.
Mm-hmm. There's no like.
I wish I could wipe the high away with my underwear.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be great.
A dude wipe for edibles. That should be the next product for them.
Oh, that would rule.
They just wipe it away. Okay, so that's a huge upset. 16 beats the one. Before we get into the other side of the bracket, let's talk a little bit about Roman. Let's talk for a minute about Roman. Most guys have tried different ways to last longer, but you know what? Thinking about baseball doesn't always work, especially when there's a goddamn lockout. Folks at Roman, an online men's health company, are changing the game with Roman Swipes, the secret to longer-lasting sex. Roman Swipes are a clinically proven way to last longer in bed. They're effective, easy to use, and fast-acting, but don't require a prescription. Roman can ship the swipes to you in a discreet, unmarked packaging, and each swipes packet is small enough to hide in your wallet for whenever you need it. Super easy to use. Just take the swipe out of the pocket, swipe it on, let it dry, and you are good to go. Go to GetRoman.com/lights to get your first month of swipes for just $5 when you choose a monthly plan. That's GetRoman.com/lights. Thank you, Roman. Now we can get into the other side of the bracket finally after waiting way too long here talking about poop stories, which, by the way, we took a 1 week break without talking about shit or poop or fart or anything.
Tommy literally shit the last episode.
Oh, fuck. Damn.
He literally shit out
of his ass. Well, we didn't talk about it really, though. Like, he just said he was going to. I guess it kind of counts.
This is a video show.
Okay, so we're going to start on the next other half of the bracket, starting with the 11 versus 6. I want to note, and this is the one I was talking about before. I won't reveal it for who submitted it, but their pick, the number 6, was when you see a group of teens that don't look like they're from your neighborhood walking down your street while you're doing in-depth NFL analysis.
Okay. So that's not me.
That was not submitted by me.
No one said it was. I kept everything anonymous. No, they're not your 6th seed. Your 6th seed is New Year's Eve in Times Square. This is one of Coley's picks. I think it's a fantastic one.
I said Christmas time.
Or sorry. Even better then. Christmas time and Times Square. I honestly, at Times Square anytime during the winter is just, I would rather die than be anywhere near that. I think that's a great pick.
Yeah, just like the influx of The summer, it's just busy everywhere, so you get used to it. Like you just become part of the city. But it's like I like New York during the winter because there's really no one except at Times Square, because so many people want to see Christmas at New York, or New York at Christmas rather, and like they all just congregate right there. And my ex used to like work up there, so I'd always have to walk up there to meet her after work and shit. And it was what I dreaded the most, was that time of year walking up there, and just 1 billion people in like a 4-block radius is mm-hmm. and they're all stopped. They'll walk mm-hmm. a few, then they stop to take a picture of the fucking Macy's display or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just constant. Like I've walked through people because they just stopped and I didn't have enough time to adjust my path at all. Like I've knocked people, no children, sadly, but I've knocked people down just not being able to break my stride during Christmas time in Times Square.
Gotta get families those kid numbers up.
Families walking 5 wide make me want to
kill. 5 wide, and they for some reason either that or like a double wide with one of them holding like or one of the wheelie backpacks behind them, like the wheelie suitcases behind them. Those are the worst. They take up like 10 square feet of room just walking. It's unbelievable. And in Times Square, no less, like you were saying, Cole, I think that's a good pick. I know that it might be very specific to the listeners of this and the watcher of this up in New York, but it sucks.
It I don't know that it is, because everyone goes there during Christmas. Like those are the people who are in my way. They happen. Yeah. Everyone can relate to this.
So they're going up against the number 11 pick. This is actually when it's Shays. Getting caught cheating on a test in school. So you just love cheating, right? It's a big cheating thing.
I feel like everyone's cheated on a test in school before. School's whatever. It's rudimentary. It's you just have to do it.
It's rudimentary. I've definitely cheated on tests before. I don't think I've ever gotten caught cheating, but I could imagine that was a horrid feeling. Have any of you other gents been caught cheating before on a test anyway?
No.
Yeah.
We just lost Nick.
Lost Nick. He'll come back. I don't think I've ever been caught cheating. Yeah. I used to find many creative ways to cheat, though.
The funniest.
Let me know when it's
back. I was in and out of KB Salon. What the
more live stream messages?
This is beautiful karma.
Wait, how is his internet out but yours isn't?
I have a lot of tabs open. If that's like hogging it,
his computer probably just died.
Soaking it up.
How would you having more tabs open protect you from the Wi-Fi going out? In
any sense? I never will.
What the fuck?
I lost internet.
But how did you lose internet? But KB didn't.
I think somebody has like a lot of tabs open or something.
That'll do it every time.
And every time it's the tabs. I had to get my Verizon guy to come over and close some tabs for me.
Kyle, are you on Nick Time or Nick Time 2?
Yeah, good question. Nick Time 2.
Okay. Huh.
The technological wonders that happen at Nick's apartment are absolutely incredible. So cheating on a test, number 11 going up against Times Square in the winter, number 6. Coley, you're up first.
So I never cheated because I truly did not care what the result of my test was. Like I'd rather not have to go to detention for something I already didn't care about. But when we did midterms and stuff, especially like they would mix different grades in between so you couldn't see the next person. But one of our star basketball players didn't know that. And he was taking a Spanish midterm and read all the Scantron answers off of a French midterm and just filled it all in. And halfway through, one of the kid was like, you know, I'm in a completely different class than you, right? And he was like, I've already filled out too many answers. I don't care anymore. And so he just went C the rest of the way. So that's he wasn't embarrassed in the slightest. So it doesn't seem that bad, honestly. I'm sticking with Times Square.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a good pick, KB.
Yeah, I think Times Square bleeding down into like Port Authority and even like Penn Station specific mm-hmm. that building during any busy time is truly the. Is a hellscape.
Jay?
Yeah. I think you got to go Times Square here. Cheating on tests is bad, but walking through Times Square or, you know, any of those areas KB mentioned, you can't really shortcut that. So I'm going to go with that.
Yep. Nick, same thing?
No. I'm going to go getting caught cheating on a test. Because the only time I got caught cheating was I had to memorize prayers in school. And, like, having to talk to Miss Ungi about, and she's like, guilts you. She's just like, you know, this is a prayer that you cheated on. This is a prayer. And it's just, it was the worst guilt. And she guaranteed terrible. Hell.
If I ever
she was terrified.
Wow. Her,
the worst, yeah.
She was 6'5 and from Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
6'5?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
She had Marge Simpson hair, too. I think she's still living. We've talked about her.
I've seen her fairly recently.
Yeah, she looks good. Great.
Shout out there, Sri Lankan all boys Catholic school teacher, or whatever the situation is here. I feel a little bit lost on it, but anyway, we're going up against into the next matchup with Times Square. Moving on, it's the number 3 versus the number 14. The number 3 is having wet socks in any situation. I almost think I seeded this too low. Almost all of you had it in here. Wet socks is just the worst situation. Even if like you're in a place where you can change them relatively quickly. There's no trip short enough in wet socks.
It's the absolute fucking worst. It's horrible. It happened today. Even when it rains and you're in waterproof shoes, there's nothing that's watertight. You're getting a wet sock.
Mm-hmm. Well, what waterproof shoes do you have?
Like duck boots.
Nike duck boots?
No.
No.
He's got to pay for all this internet. You think he can afford that?
Exactly.
Afford a Nike duck boots.
Internet doesn't work.
The socks, especially with the Yak's wet wheel, that is by far the worst part. But just because your feet won't naturally dry, like you have to take your shoes off, and if you do that, it's just a soppy, uncomfortable feeling on your feet. Plus, you get your feet out, and they probably stink. Wet socks by a mile.
Nick, you seemed not well, too convinced my feet, there, but the stinky ass feet.
Yeah, why would your feet stink?
Because they're just in your old ass shoes all the time. Imagine you wore the same shirt every day, maybe the same jersey and pants every day for, let's say, a week. I bet those would stink. No,
I would bathe in between though.
Yeah.
Your foot should be clean.
I wore the same thing every day in Los Angeles. I wasn't too stinky. I was regular stinky.
Highly questionable. KB, what do you think about wet socks?
Matchup here?
I didn't even give you the matchup. I think it's preliminary thoughts on wet socks.
Atrocious.
I would rather get a wet sock out, though, and knowing I have to spend a day than just getting out of the shower, getting dressed, like walking back into the bathroom to like brush my teeth and stepping in a puddle.
This morning, actually. I had to change my
especially
socks.
If you've already put pants on, too, for some reason. If you step in those wet socks, like you're not going to take your pants off, but the next pair of socks you put on just don't feel right.
They don't feel right. They never do.
I don't know why, but there's something about that order of operations it's ruined your day pretty much.
It's almost like if you try to put on socks too soon after getting out of the shower, like it's just like your feet feel like just, it just doesn't feel right. There's just something.
I mean, trying to put on a sock with a slightly damp foot.
Yeah.
You have to be the strongest man in the world.
Yeah, they just it was never going to go on correctly. Mm-hmm. So that's going up against the 14 seed in that. I wonder if you guys can guess who added this one. Getting caught liking sexy Instagram pictures.
I don't understand the point of liking Instagram models' photos. Like, what is that going to do?
Any celebrities' pictures.
I don't. Yes. They should not get any likes. Like, what are you like? What is the point of liking their photos?
It's like the people who like.
I think guys are so cocky that they think like there is like a. It is there is a.
There's like a little chance.
There is a slight chance.
It reminds me of the people with like zero followers that just tweet nonstop. It's like you're just tweeting into the void, and it's the same thing. It's even worse if you're liking into the void, like of 200,000 likes, and you're one of them. Like, you think it does anything for anybody?
No, it doesn't do anything. Like, and it's just like, you'll just get a screenshot from a stoolie that's like, somebody's horny.
Yep.
Yeah.
The Glennie Ball special.
I did this to like a girl from New Jersey. who had like 500 followers, and like someone was like, "Somebody's horny." So I never liked any pictures.
I've never liked a girl's photo.
None.
I had it once where I was following a girl who I didn't know at the time had an OnlyFans, and somebody sent me a picture of the fact that I was following them and said, "Ah, fellow man of taste." And I was like, "Oh, no, 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 no. That's not what I wanted to go for here at all."
But to whoever submitted this, who were you getting caught by?
Speaking anonymously for whoever submitted it. I wouldn't say necessarily getting caught. I mean, on the Yak we have done, and I think this is kind of how this started was it like has eroded my what is it, the Discover page? I'm not very good.
Explore page.
Explore page, yes. So mine used to just be like football stats and like basketball videos, and now it's just I think maybe not necessarily liking, but just like
you linger too long in the algorithm.
Yes.
And if you zoom on a picture, rest in peace, your explore page. It's all fucked.
Yeah.
It's all cooter.
Yep.
You're absolutely fucked.
It's all cooter.
I think this is a pretty easy win though for Wet Sox. Wet Sox is just, it might actually go on to take the whole thing in my opinion, but let's take it to a vote. Nick?
Wet Sox, easy. It Wet makes Sox? Me want to scream.
Jay?
Yeah, Wet Sox. I mean, it's the other is just appreciating the human anatomy.
KB?
Well, yeah, what's up? Does water bring anything from an A to a Z or a 100 to a 0 faster than socks?
The wicked rich of the West, maybe. Like, it's the only thing I think of.
Cold water to boners.
Everything comes back to boners with you, Steve. Jay? Coley?
Yeah, it's kind of like, I find something endearing about people who are just earnestly, like, I have, like, an aunt and a couple of old people who, like, comment on Tom Brady's post like they're old pals. Like, I think that's one of the funniest things in the world to me. I don't see anything awkward about that at all. I love it. Wet Sox, Jesus Christ, what a horrible invention.
Just invention. All right, so they're gonna move on. Clean
sweep. Who invented the Wet Sox?
Yeah,
I'd like to have a word with him.
They could have figured that out. They could have sussed it out.
Gonna fix that one. Next up is the number 10 versus the 7. The number 10 is getting into a car accident that you are responsible for, which I think is painful. And this might only be me. And it wasn't a car accident, it was a fender bender. Like, literally just looked the wrong way, bumped into their bumper, and that's it. But like the immediate pit in the stomach and the immediate like feeling of dread, like, oh fuck, oh fuck, oh fuck. Especially when you're like not like, because I was only like 18 or something at the time, or maybe 17. Mm-hmm. Like that feeling of like, I'm going to jail right now because I bumped this guy's bumper. And like that feeling was just absolutely horrid. So I think, and there's probably obviously way more bigger issues with car accidents, but like, I'm thinking something more mild.
Yeah. There's always that second of what kind of person did I just bump into? Is this person going to pretend to like be hurt? Or are they going to come out pissed off?
My fear the worst part is just like the interaction.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not the legal implications or the money. It's just having to talk to that person.
You not only do you have to talk to that person, you have to talk to insurance people. You have to talk to the cops. Yeah. You have to fill out paperwork. Like anything involving it, because I've never caused a car accident, but I've been hit by several other people. Because it turns out most people really don't know how to drive. And it's one of them I didn't see coming. Another one I saw was unavoidable. And both of them equally terrible. There's no fun car accident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's, yeah. So I guess like any car accident. So let's change that one up. I was going to make a car accident you caused, but I think being in any car accident, equally horrible situation probably, although you don't have as much feeling of guilt or dread.
Yeah, I feel like when you cause it, like you're probably least likely to get hurt. I don't know if that's scientifically true.
If you're drunk.
In my mind, yeah.
Yeah, you see it coming, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like most of the people who die in car accidents are the ones who were hit.
Yeah, you're just nice and loose. Exactly. The next up, they're going up against the number 7, which is accidentally staining, breaking, or damaging someone else's home or possessions of any kind. Could be anything.
Well, yeah.
Accidentally breaking someone, you're not your shit, breaking someone else's shit.
That feels awful.
I'm trying to think of the ones I know I broke my friend's Xbox controller once and I just hid it from him and I didn't go to school the next day. So I was afraid.
It's when it's like the parents like painting or you spill something that's permanent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've destroyed a lot. I was not a good house guest. I was excited to be there. But even like today, me and Kyle had to record a video and we broke Dan Vollmeyer. He brought in his dad's like generational shillelagh and we just broke it.
Oh, Jesus.
It's gone through like hundreds of years.
Traditionally Irish last name Vollmeyer.
Yeah.
First thing I think of is the Emerald Isles when I hear that name. Jay,
that's right.
What do you think about car accident versus breaking something that's not yours?
These are kind of hand in hand.
They are in a way, yeah.
Yeah. As an Asian person, I get honked at a lot, mostly due to my poor driving ability. I would feel
it's not funny, but it's very funny.
I'm going to let it. I want to say a lot of things. I have a lot to ask. Are you a bad driver? And do you blame your genes?
Yes, and yes. I got honked at recently for almost three blocks. Just the guy laid on the horn the entire time. And then pulled up next to me and told me to roll my window down so he could yell at me.
Did you?
Yes, I took it.
What did he say? What did he say to you?
How does that go down?
It was just like kind of like a long line to go for this. I guess it was there were two lanes, and I didn't realize one of them was right turn only. And so this guy was waiting behind this car to turn left in the middle lane. And so I didn't know if he was turning left or not. So I went around the right lane and I passed him. And he was an old man who looked like he could have actually been from the Ukraine. And he
know where the country is. You know what the people look like?
Yeah, I mean, kind of. I'm going off my basketball knowledge here. But okay. he followed me, laid on the horn for two almost three blocks. We get to a red light. He pulls up next to me and gives me the roll the window down. I didn't know what happened because I didn't know I did anything wrong or illegal, so I thought that he was going to say that I had a flat tire or something. But no, he just yelled at me an old man gibberish, and then he turned left and continued to honk as I went straight.
Were you like nodding an apology like
I typically, if someone's going to insult my driving while it's happening, I probably know I'm in the wrong. So I just.
Yeah, that's what I was picturing.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Michael Jordan shrug after the three pointer.
Do you get like nervous when you're merging onto the highway?
No, like I'm not like Tommy or Frank. Like I can go on the highways and stuff like that, but. Yeah, like I'm not a great driver. It was just destiny that I wouldn't be a great driver.
No comment from any of the other three, four guys in here on that one at all.
He seems to hate Asian drivers more than any of us.
Way
more than any of us.
So you're picking car accidents, Steve?
Yes.
All right, KB.
I mean, it does have to go to car accidents, I think, but it's close.
Breaking something that's not yours, I feel like, is more likely to happen, even though like you're driving way more often than you're in the other situation. But I don't know. It's a tough call. Coley?
Typically, 99% of car accidents, you don't know the other person involved. I feel like 99% of the time you break something, you probably know that person quite well. I think that makes it worse. Like, because now you feel like you either owe that person something. Like you, there's no insurance that's going to like step in and pay for the fix. Like you have to fix it. That I think that's what I'm going to give the nod to that. I think that makes it worse.
Yeah. Okay. If it's a person,
it's horrible.
Or like the relative of a friend, then that might be the worst.
Yeah.
But even like spilling at a friend's house is like the mom can't be mad, but you know she's pissed. You know she'll remember forever.
Oh yeah.
But like Coley said, if you get into a car accident, you have to call your insurance. Do you even know what that's like? I would just pray that it's in my glove box. I don't know if it is. For all I know, it could be in the garbage or in an email I never read.
You don't call your insurance from the scene of the crime.
You don't?
No, you just exchange information.
Yeah, you get there.
What information, though?
Yeah, so you should have that. Yeah, you should have that.
You should figure this thing out.
I just kind of assume that it's ingrained into the car and detailed on it in some way. I don't know what I would do.
Nope.
Yeah, no, it should be.
Do you know who your insurer is?
No.
You know, you know what's kind of funny was I remember I tweeted out once because you know how like the commercials for the General are everywhere. I tweeted out once.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Do you know anyone who has the General insurance? And everyone's like, I don't know anyone's fucking car insurance. I don't know a single one of my homies' car insurers. I guess so. Yeah.
Actually,
that's a really good point.
Actually, odd to know anyone else.
Yeah.
I actually do know my car insurance because I've bought. The last two times I've purchased a car has been on a holiday weekend and the insurance is closed. So I have like the cheapest, worst insurance possible. And then I can't drive the car off the lot.
Okay. Yeah. This is all coming together very slowly, but surely.
You shouldn't have a license.
Yeah, probably not. You and that old guy both. Revoke him.
Yeah, that was very rude.
Very rude by the old man. I think it is weird too. Cause like, I think a car accident ruins your day. But like breaking someone else's thing kind of doesn't, like, it's really embarrassing. And like, if you want to go to that person's house again, like you're immediately going to think of it, you know, they're thinking about it. Yep. That kind of sucks. But like, so it's really, which one of those things is worse to you? Nick, what would you pick?
It's definitely breaking or spilling or staining at a friend's house or yeah. It's a house that's not yours.
You know what? I'm going to go with that as well. So I'm going to advance it. The 7 seed, breaking something that doesn't belong to you. Which like could involve car if you were the one who crashes into something else.
Oh, if you crash someone else's car, yeah, that's.
Oh.
I just meant you crash your car into someone else's car.
But if you're driving, like if that's your friend's possession that you broke was their car, like I can't imagine.
No. That's it. That's the worst one.
The next matchup, the last matchup on the side of the bracket, it's the number 2 seed. And this one actually might win the whole thing. It's being forced to watch a video that your friend/coworker insists is funny.
Oh.
And it's usually over 2 minutes long. And it sucks. You just got to
sit there. They look at you. They don't look at the video.
Don't watch the video for a second. They're just staring right at your fucking face. Yeah. That one's brutal. That's a really good 2 seed. And that's going up against the number 15, which is the first week of like dorm icebreaker activities or just college icebreaker activities during that first week, which is always painfully awkward. And Steve, you're shaking your head.
That's great. You get to know everybody.
Fucking get in here. Get in here right now, Robbie. Robbie, right at the beginning of this pod, the start of the pod, Robbie said, there's one on here that I know for a fact. Stephen Chase can be like, this actually rocks. And which one was it?
It was literally this one. I looked at it and I said, Stephen Chase is going to love that.
Do you like 2 truths and a lie? All you're basing it off of is their appearance. It's fucking dumb.
How else are you going to get to know people?
You just don't. Or just by like living on the same floor as them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's good to know, you know, hey, my name is so-and-so. I'm from here. This is what I'm majoring in. Yeah, great. Now I have the basic requirements of knowledge for your existence.
He was a really, really great call. I had a feeling too after he said that. I'm like, yeah,
that was a good call. Yeah.
Jeez, man, I love that shit. So what's our number 2 seed, being forced to watch a video that your friend or coworker insists is funny versus college icebreakers. What are you guys picking? Let's start with you, Nick.
Man, college icebreakers had me so nervous.
So unreasonably nervous.
Yeah, because I thought they were going to judge me, and I was trying to think of, like, the coolest truths about myself, and I don't have any cool truths. I'm going to go with that. I did not like that.
Wow, big upset. All right, Che? Yeah.
What was the other one?
Watching videos versus watching the videos.
Watching videos, for sure.
I'm good at fake laughing. Thank you.
KB, you're up.
Yeah. With my current life at our office, like I would never, like, I would just tell someone to fuck off. They try to give me like, a 10-minute video. I'm just like, no. Yeah, I hated icebreakers.
Mm-hmm. I should. You picking icebreakers?
But yeah, those were always awful.
Coley?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of torn here because I'll also tell someone to fuck off, but like, I was very high during those icebreakers, so I just was a big dickhead in those. So like, I was just making, like, I already had two friends. That was all I really needed. So it was like, all right, I don't care about any of you people. I'll probably never see you again. It's a big campus. So I took those very, I wasn't nervous at all for those. It was like annoying that you had to go to them, but I made the best of it. I don't know. This is for two, this is 215.
215. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of the other ones were much tougher than this. I'll go college because that one's at 2-1. I'll just push that through.
Yep, that one wins. I would have picked watching videos, but I do think the college icebreaker stage was pretty shitty. Before we get into our
current jobs have, oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Our current jobs have kind of like desensitized for like, yeah, we'd all tell somebody to fuck off or like, that's not funny. But like my job before this, like I had somebody show me like the Potter puppet pals. I don't care about, but like I had to like watch the entire thing. They always play it too loudly. So other people think you're enjoying it.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, the person who shows me the most terrible videos on the internet are KB's stories that he posts like every 2 weeks. All the DM submissions. Those are the worst videos on the internet. And he's the person. And I get a great enjoyment out of them.
Series coming soon.
Yeah, it's soon to be a Barstool show.
Hell yeah.
First two episodes are done.
You're like the anti-Rob Dyrdek.
Yeah.
Well, no, I am being Rob.
You are the deer deck of the. I am the Chanel West Coast of this.
All right. Before we get into the championship rounds or into the rest of the rounds anyway, let's talk real quick about Hawthorne. Let's talk a little bit about Hawthorne. You're going to hear a lot about stinks and smells in this bracket. And I think that Hawthorne's a good way to, you know, kind of alleviate your body of some of those problems. Before I found Hawthorne, my grooming routine was, you know, a lot of trial and error. You use drugstore products. You use a lot of stuff that makes your skin feel dry. You don't know the side effects. But now my skin and my hair are looking their best thanks to Hawthorne. They're a premium men's grooming brand that makes it easy to be your best and confident. You got the elevated skincare. You got hair care essentials. And all of it, it works for you as an individual. They believe it should be simple for you to find high quality products. So they made this quiz thing super easy to use. It's based on data from hundreds of thousands of customers. They use it to recommend products for your body chemistry, skin type, hair type, lifestyle, all that stuff. They can help you elevate your personal care. Let them recommend a face cleanser and moisturizer. Make it a truly custom routine. And they throw in a personalized eye cream, which I use all the time. Helps take the bags out. By the way, it's great. Should recommend this to Vibs, really. And they give you a conditioner and they add the extra luxury to your morning, of course. To get started, build your personal profile by taking Hawthorne's quiz. They ask things like, you know, like, are you super active? Are you not active? Is your skin like a little drier? Are you in a like harsher climate? All sorts of different things. And it's super, super easy. Really, really fun. I love filling out almost anything. And this makes it like super easy because everyone likes talking about themselves, basically. And basically, think about it this way. Hawthorne, they stand by their customers. So if you're not completely satisfied, they'll retail your products for free based on your feedback and pay for the shipping. So there's truly no risk. Elevate your personal care today by taking Hawthorne's quiz. Go to hawthorne.co, HAWTHORNE.co, and use promo code LIGHTS. Hawthorne.co, promo code LIGHTS, to get 10% off your first purchase. Thank you to Hawthorne. All right, let's zip through the rest of this bracket. Let's start on the first side. We have the number four, running into your ex-girlfriend out in any sort of function, versus the number five, sending the wrong text where you're shit talking someone to that person. This is a really
heavyweight
really
matchup.
Tough matchup. You know what, Coley? Let's start with you.
I'm really trying to think about it. I don't know that I've ever run into an ex. Like, I don't think that's ever happened to me. They like live so far away.
Yeah, I tried to relate, but it's never happened to me.
Yeah, it's never. I assume it would be uncomfortable for sure. I can definitely understand that. What was the other one? The seven one is text?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That's tough because, like, as Steven was saying earlier, you could backslide. Like, that's not the worst case scenario. There is no best case scenario to, like, texting that person because it's always either a screenshot or it's like a screenshot with a sentence that's very clearly making fun of that person. So that's just tough.
I think the one I sent that I remember is I sent the screenshot of what they had told me to them and I just put LMAO. It's just like, oh. It's just, there's no walking it back. There's no walking it back at all. KB, so where, you're like, picking text as well.
Everyone is connected to Bluetooth, and like this has happened to a few people I know. The text pops up, and they're in the backseat. They just see it come up.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Talking shit about the person in the car to other people in the car.
And it blips on the console like e-reader thing. Yeah, that's tough. All right, so that's two for wrong text, Che.
I think they're two very different feelings. Like one of them is you feel like an asshole because you just got caught doing something. The other one's just like, fuck, now I'm just really uncomfortable for however long this is going to last. And I'm definitely going to go with seeing an ex at a bar or any social outing.
All right, so that's one for seeing an ex. Nick?
I'm an emotional guy. I wear my heart on my sleeve. You guys know that. I'm a Cancer. And so it's got to be seeing the ex. It'll just ruin my night.
Seeing the ex? Well, sucks to be that one anyway, because I'm going to pick the wrong text because I think that is just, it's that friendship's over. You know, your relationship with your ex is already over, but like you just ruined a friendship with the
yeah, and it is text. Just your fault.
Yeah, and it's 100% your own fault. Yeah,
you can leave that establishment. Like,
yeah, but then you're like conceding. You don't want to see that it's like, had that big of an effect on you. You want to show out like you're having a good time, but inside you're just dying.
Exactly. You don't want to be the person that like gives in, essentially.
Yes.
So the number five wrong text, move on. The next up, we have the number 16 seed, which beat the one seed, don't forget. The really bad edible trip, and that's going up against being in the situation where like your friend's parents are fighting, your friend is fighting their parents, your parents are fighting. A lot of parents are getting in fights in this one. So which one are you picking, edibles or parent fights? Edible trips or parent fights? Let's start with Nick.
Easily parent fights. That's how I learned the word cunt.
Same.
Yeah. I think so, yeah, too. How it brings us. All right, Jay.
I would probably say parent fight as well, just because, like we talked about earlier, you're stuck there.
Exactly. KB?
I don't have much experience with the parent fights, I guess. But the edible, yeah, I'm sticking with that in a landslide, worst feeling I've experienced.
Mm-hmm. Coley?
Yeah, it's the edible. I mean, it's Boston. Parents fight kids, but it's just a lot of yelling. Like, you get used to it. You cannot get used to being too high. It's the most uncomfortable feeling.
Yeah.
Kyle, do you still have your notes app from when you were too high?
One time I was like, I'm going to combat this by keeping a time log of what's going on with me. And I look back at it and I like five straight entries were all just 1:21 AM. That's how slow time was moving and how fast I was typing.
Jesus Christ. The thing is, I kind of agree with the edible part because like with the friends fighting, like it does suck. Cause like then again, like we were saying before, like they're not letting you leave. Like if you're like, I want to get out of the situation, there's no fucking chance. But like eventually it'll like calm down probably relatively quickly, hopefully. And like you play Nintendo 64 or whatever, or PlayStation, and like you kind of like move on. But like with the edible, you are just kind of trapped and there's no remedy whatsoever to the situation. So I'll advance the edible here, even though I really do like that number 8 seed.
It was a good fight. That was a good fight.
It was a great fight. And now that's gonna be the number 16 edible trip versus the number 5 wrong text to the person that you're talking shit about. And this is a tough one. Let's start with you, Coley.
I'm sticking with the edible because like, at least for me, I live by the mantra, if I'll say it to anyone, I will say it to you. Even if this wasn't the way I would have preferred for it to come out, I will still say it to you and explain to you. And then if our relationship's over, so be it. But again, you just feel so helpless. Like, It's like God stepping on your chest. Like there's nothing you can do.
Mm-hmm. KB, I'm assuming you're the same way.
Yeah. I'm looking at that's my time log entry. Yeah. This is the worst thing ever.
What's the entries? What are the entries look like?
I'm not going to get way too into it, but
yeah. All right. 126,
so too high to even think. Can't even get over this. On the verge of panic again. 126, mental anguish. 127, too stupid to think. 128, keeps going in fever dream like circles. 128, don't worry. 129, this will pass. Meta thought jumble, deja vu type feeling. 131, mild panic attack. Time is still moving mind wrenchingly slow. Yeah, you get it.
Yeah,
that's like Jim Carrey's The Grinch reading off his daily schedule.
Daily self-loading. All right, Shay, edible or wrong text?
Ooh, this may come as a surprise to people, but I actually did an edible once and I have retired from drugs since. It was one of the worst feelings, and you haven't seen a more staunch rule follower to the edible process than me, setting phone alarms, very spaced out, following all the instructions that my buddy gave me. He gave me a bag of popcorn, which I love, and said, you know, eat this, wait, you know, 30 minutes, and, you know, it should start to kick in. But then he also said, if it doesn't fully get you there, here are these little mints. And have one of these, you know, every 30 minutes. So
everyone falls into that same trap.
Did the popcorn, waited an appropriate amount, even put a buffer on. Nothing. So I was like, I'll try these mints. Let me try half of one at a time. Spaced them out, nothing. Then I figured, you know, why don't I just go a whole mint? It seems to not be working. And then I just fell into the upside down and was stuck there for. The
only rule about edibles is to not do what you.
Yeah, that is the number one rule.
What's the number one rule?
Is when you, if you don't feel anything, don't take more.
No, but I waited. So it's like I took some, I waited like 30 minutes. So all this was sequentially time space in between. But yeah, I was completely melted to my couch for several hours. And then when I somewhat came to, I was unable to move. And when I somewhat came to, I ate more Chinese food than I've ever eaten in my life.
Mm, that sounds about right. That's the way you get out of the hangover. Or the,
and I was not the same for like 3 days after. It was terrible.
Yeah, it's what I'd imagine shell shock to feel like.
Yeah. So Nick, what are you're picking edible, Che, which is incredible. So yep. No pun, there's no rhyme intended there. What are you picking, Nick?
Edible.
Yeah, me too. Clean sweep for edible. Edible's going into the finals. On the other side of the bracket, we have Wet Sox number 3. Versus number 6 Times Square. I think this is a wash. For Wet Sox, right?
I think we know the finals, honestly.
Yeah.
We know the finals. Well,
so on the other side is watching the video, the number 2 seed, watching the video that your friend like insists is funny for like 2 minutes straight. And that's going up against breaking something that your friend owns. Between those two, I would lean towards being stuck watching the video because like you're stuck in like a 2.5 minute video. Like of something that you know is not funny within the first 15 seconds.
What logic are you using for that?
What do you mean?
So you're saying a 2.5 minutes of boredom is worse than the feeling?
No, he's voting for the breaking things.
The opposite is what I'm saying here. I'm saying I think that the watching the video thing is worse because like your rules of politeness, which like make you guilty when you break on someone else's shit, also kind of force you to like kind of grin and bear it. Especially when it's like, and I'm not sure if you guys got in this situation. Like at work, yeah, you'll be like, fuck off, this isn't funny. But like if you're like at home or something, like a family member or whatever makes you watch something, like your fucking grandma sending you some shit in email, whatever, like you just gotta eat shit and bear it and it sucks. And it's something that's always terrible, never funny. And sitting there just again, like 2.5 minutes stuck watching something. Breaking something that's not yours is significantly more embarrassing, but and just more guilt ridden. But like that, I feel like it happens so much less often than being forced to watch something.
And it's always an heirloom. It's never something they bought at IKEA. It's always something that's very valuable to the family.
Exactly. So, so I'll pick watching the video, but what would you pick, Nick?
I'm taking breaking something.
Breaking something, Che?
I'm taking watching the video because breaking something almost always happens intentionally, I would think. right?
It's always an accident.
I would say the exact opposite.
It's an accident.
What do you mean it happens intentionally? Are you just walking up to your friend's heirlooms and just like
smacking them off the shelf?
No, I punched a hole in a friend's wall once, which was a shocking.
That would be intentional.
Wait, why did you do that?
The Bucks threw an interception, like something completely irrelevant.
It was like a drinking thing, and I was commenting on how soft the walls looked, and.
Bro, homie, your balls are bitch made.
Yeah, you see how that wall's eyeballing me right now, man?
I punch right through it.
I learned so much about you.
Yeah. That was a long time. I think I was like 21 at the time, so not my finest moment.
That's so funny. All right, so you're picking the watching the video, right? So,
KB. But like, even if you break a video game controller, like you threw the video game controller, right? Like,
I didn't know that wasn't on purpose. Like I literally just dropped it and it broke. Like it wasn't where I did it in like a rage break. I broke the controller and just literally didn't show up to school the next day. I mean, I was so embarrassed.
It's an accident.
Yeah, that's what we're saying here.
It feels awful.
Yeah, it still feels bad.
Yeah. No.
Do you not feel bad if it's something that was accidental?
I would feel a lot less bad for sure.
If you did it on purpose, you meant to do it. So you're like,
yeah. Why would you feel bad at all?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah.
It's like you hanging out with like Cameron Braid or whatever, and he shows you the Lombardi Trophy, and you just drop it and break it. And you're like, yeah, fucking sorry. What do you want me to do about it?
You want to cry?
Yeah, you could have cried.
It was on accident. You can't be mad. It was on purpose. You can't be mad.
Oh my god.
I'm
a bad person. What do you want from me?
Celebrity trophy, I would imagine.
All right, wait. So, KB, what are you picking?
It's
breaking
the,
things, or
it's the break.
Breaking things, break the tie, Coley.
It's the breaking things by far.
Breaking things. So it's gonna be the number 7 breaking things versus number 3 wet socks. What are you guys picking?
Socks.
I think socks.
I'm going
as
breaking.
Well.
I feel so ashamed. I feel like a real fucking klutz. I mean, the wet sock just affects me.
Okay, so that's 1-for-1. And where are you going to go with Che?
Socks by a mile.
Socks, KB?
Yeah, I'm going the breaking things because the socks is usually like a semi. There's a fix in the very near future, usually.
Yes, fuck, so I'm going to break the tie again. Okay, so I think that wet socks are actually worse, but only because... Again, it comes down to like, it doesn't matter how short your trip is to go get new socks or how quickly the situation can be resolved, but like, it is never it's never short enough. Like, because any step you need to take in wet socks is absolutely goddamn miserable. Feeling all the water squish out of your sock and into your shoe, want to get reabsorbed when your foot comes back up is just like absolutely disgusting.
It's amazing how unclean it can make you feel.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, it's fucking gross. So we're going to have the number 16 bad edible trip versus the number 3 wet socks. This is going to be really, really a tough one. Coley, let's start with you.
Even like just going off what you just said, there is a fix in the near future. Even if there isn't, you could take them off. Like it's not a great fix, but it is a fix. There's no fix for like if you OD on like fentanyl, they have a fix. If you OD on edible, good luck. We'll see you when you land. Like there is nothing that can. There's no food you can eat. There's nothing you're like. I think the worst part is if you sit perfectly still, you're not in any danger, but you feel like you're in the most danger imaginable.
Mm-hmm.
So you start moving, which only further put you in danger. Like you need to stay still and you cannot.
If I stepped in a puddle with socks on while I was on an edible, I don't think I'd be here today.
No. You're sawing your leg off.
Oh, you don't know what to do. So KB, what do you got?
Yeah, it's not the edible.
Bad edible. You can bring it home right now if you wanted to, Che.
I don't think he's gonna.
I just had way more bad experiences with wet socks.
Right, but you keep putting on socks. You won't go near an edible again.
Yeah, exactly.
True.
Every time you put on a sock, you're risking it being wet. You won't even risk the edible thing.
Yeah, no, that's out. I guess, Cole, you sold me. I think I got to go edible now.
Bad edible chip's going to move on. I mean, I would have picked it too, Nick.
I would have gone sock.
You would have gone sock? You would have been lone one out.
Yeah. Edible is self-inflicted.
Mm-hmm.
You know the risk.
It Sock's is. Mostly self-inflicted.
Yeah.
There's also sometimes varying badness to wet socks. Like wet sock, when like you step in a puddle in your shower when you go back in or whatever, like, yeah, that sucks. But like when you step into like black ice in the city,
I would rather sock be drenched than damp.
Yeah.
But here's the thing though. When you step in black ice and like your shoe is now dead and your sock is dead and like there's nothing you can do, like you literally just need to go buy new shoes and buy new socks. Like it's just
the only way you can, yeah, it's the only way you can solve it.
But it doesn't feel as bad as just when like a patch is wet, because now your whole leg's wet, you're developing pneumonia. Like that's a whole different bag of apples. But when you just step in it a little, you're just like, oh, come on, man.
Yeah, that's just bad. But a bad edible trip wins it. The very, very latest addition onto the bracket of worst situations. This has been a fun one, though. That was a good episode.
Yeah, it has been fun.
That was fun. And there's a lot of, learned a lot about, I think, Steve Che, just like we do in every single one of these episodes, which is always fun.
He's the main character of this podcast.
It is.
Far and away.
100%. It's incredible. It's like the biography of Stephen Che, more or less. But yeah, we'll be back next week. We will have Jeff back soon. Well, I think we'll have Owen back next week as well. But until then, I'm Ken Jack. There's Nick, KB, Che, Coley. See you next time.